Okay. I'm sorry, everybody. I got stopped down by someone very important, and I tried to tell him I needed to go, and he said, "Just give me a few minutes." So I'm very, very sorry. But at least I see people are here, and we don't want to give them a battle of the spiels. So we'll go on from where we are. So we were discussing, flowers and Shabbos and how you can, what you can do with them, what you can't do with them. We spoke about the issur of choresh, zoreya, and koitzer, plowing, sowing, and reaping. And basically, as we said, that when you prepare the ground for use in Shabbos, that is considered as choresh. When you plant and do anything which will increase the growth, which will make the anything that will make the plants grow better, so that is considered as zoreya. So that includes putting the seeds in the ground and watering them, weeding them, etc. And koitzer is when you disconnect a fruit from its source of sustenance. A fruit, a branch, anything growing that is disconnected will be a problem of koitzer. So we spoke about choresh, we spoke about eating in the garden and spilling water. There can be a problem of choresh or a problem of zoreya, depending on what the case is. If you're eating in your garden and you spill water or you wash your hands over the grass, that is considered as zoreya. And if you are sitting over a piece of ground where there's nothing now growing, but it has the potential to grow, so then spilling could be considered as choresh, because when you pour water over hard ground, it softens the ground and makes it easier to use. Now today we'll talk about a little bit about koitzer and then go into hishtamshus betzomer. So we'll explain in a moment. So koitzer is when you disconnect something which is growing or connected to the ground. Now, it doesn't have to be in the conventional form that it's a tree and you're cutting a fruit off. It could even be something which grows without roots, such as a fungus or a mushroom more particularly, or something like that. When you have moss that grows on stone. So all those things, if you remove it from the place where it grows, that is considered as koitzer. If a person were to pick up a stone that has moss growing on it, to remove the moss from that stone would be an issur, even though picking up the stone from its place might not be, but removing the moss from the stone would be. So if you have, for example, it's brought down in Shinyat Beis. If people use stones in the olden days for all sorts of interesting uses, which you don't do today, but we warn a person not to take a stone that has moss on it, because when he uses it, he's going to rub some of it off, and therefore it's going to cause a problem of koitzer. This applies even if everything that you're dealing with has dried out, and you're just left with a dry tree or a dry fruit or a dry leaf or something like that. But as long as it's still connected to the ground, then removing it is still a problem of koitzer, and as you said, applies to something even if it doesn't have roots. However, if you have a branch that's been disconnected from the tree, and now you're taking a fruit off the branch, but it's not connected to the ground because it said the branch has been disconnected from the tree, then it's mutter in certain circumstances to remove the fruit. There will be cases, probably we've discussed in the past, we'll have to discuss it again in the future, there could be a problem of dosh. But aside from that, if it wouldn't be dosh, if that's the normal way you get your fruit home, you get your fruit on a vine of some sort, and now you take it off. So since it's the main vine is not connected to the ground, so removing the fruit from that vine is not a problem of koitzer. Now, that takes care of the melachos involved. Now, there's also the rabbanon involved, that one shouldn't use growing items on Shabbos. Grass, trees. The grass, the Ramah says, is mutter to use because it is small and soft and it's on the ground, and therefore you can walk on grass and things like that. But a tree, we're not allowed to climb up onto. And a tree depends on how high you go on your tree. If it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, then it's still considered a bottle to the karka. But if it's above 3 tefachim, then it's already considered as climbing on a tree. And that is also, even if the person doesn't do anything, even if he doesn't pick anything or water it or look after the tree, no melachos daraisos. This is the issur derabbanon to climb on a tree on Shabbos. Issur derabbanon to use a tree. The tree itself is mukta. So number one, we'll say you can touch a tree like any other mukta on Shabbos, we hold that touching out, the strictly speaking, touching is not asur, as long as the touching doesn't lead to moving. Therefore, if you have an egg that was freshly laid, now the egg is round and can roll, so touching the egg would be asur because you cause it to roll. But if it was something that was not going to roll, or it was in a position where it was caught in a groove and it's not going to roll, touching it is not an asur. You walk past a car and you touch it, that is not a problem. What is a problem is when the touching leads to moving. So if you have a tree, you can touch it, but you can't lean on the tree. What happens if you have a tree that has a nice big fat trunk and is strong, and you lean on the tree? So then the tree is not going to move. So we make a difference in the Gemara between strong and weak. And interesting, there's a machlokas. What is referring to when the Gemara says strong and weak? Is referring to the person or is referring to the tree? And lemaisa we machmir on both. Well, what does that mean? Let me explain. That if your tree is a very thick and strong tree, that when a average-sized human being leans on it, it has no effect on the tree. It's like leaning on a wall, and it's not going to move whatsoever. So that's considered a strong tree, where it would be mutter, and if it was a weak tree, it would be asur. The other time where they talk about strong and weak is talking about the human being. If a human being is just healthy and normal, so when he leans on a tree, he leans partially on a tree, and partially he relies on his own legs. Mashiach came, if you're talking about a person who's weak and at the end of his strength, so when he leans on a tree, he leans on it with all his strength, and he really relies on the tree to hold him up. So there's two shittas in the Gemara, how to learn it, and we come at the Chumran. Therefore, to lean on a tree on Shabbos, where the tree is not going to move, essentially is mutter if A, the tree is strong, the tree taka will not move as a result of you leaning on it, and B, the person is strong, meaning he's not going to lean on it with all his weight. Yeah, you lean on it a little bit, and you also lean on your feet, and if someone tickles you, you'll jump up without a problem. That's, you know, that means the person is fine, even if he's leaning on the tree. But if the tree is weak, that means there's a possibility of the tree moving because you lean on it. That's also, and also if the person is weak, we're going to say that he may not lean on the tree, because he's going to lean on it with all his strength and put his whole weight onto the tree. Now, Chazal also tell us, obviously, that from the same point of not using the trees, that you may not climb a tree on Shabbos. And it could be the person will take a branch. It's also to use something that grows, and therefore we're going to say that a person may not climb a tree on Shabbos. If a person does climb a tree, so we're actually going to discuss why he climbed the tree and how. If a person climbed a tree on Shabbos and mazed it purposely, knowing that it's also needed it despite that, so we're going to say we give him a knas, because at this moment now he wants to keep Shabbos. The moment he climbed the tree, he couldn't care. Yeah, talking about it. I mean, there's different people do things for different things, but I'll give an example. A teenager's ball is in the tree, and he really wants to get his ball down. I say teenager because a kid is a different story. He's anyway part of the bar mitzvah. Could be this doesn't apply to him. But we're talking about someone who's over bar mitzvah. His ball's in the tree, and he's very adamant. It was a very exciting ball, and he doesn't care. You tell him, don't go up the tree. He went up the tree. Now that he's up the tree, he feels guilty, and he has his rule chuva, and he says, what have I done? I've got to climb the tree on Shabbos. You've got to tell him, the halacha is, once you're up, lo yered, you may not come down from. However, if a person went up the tree b'shoigeg, he was unaware that it was also. When he got to the top, someone said to him, excuse me, it's also to climb a tree, or he forgot that it was Shabbos. Then we say, no, he does come down. There's a whole discussion, I saw the footnotes of the Shmir Shabbos Kifasa brings from Thomas Zalman, as to how you're going to work this out, because what's the issur of a person in the tree? Can a person move from branch to branch? If the tree doesn't move, and there's no shaking of the tree, so while a person's sitting up there, you know, if he climbed up an hour before Motzei Shabbos, no, so he sits there for an hour. But if he climbed up in the morning, he's going to wait till Motzei Shabbos, or even if he climbed up Friday night, he's got to wait 20, 23, 22 hours. It gets pretty difficult, and what do you do? So obviously if a person's got onus and he's going to fall down and who knows what, that would be a different case, give him a heads to jump out, but he'd have to be careful to jump out of the tree and not to climb down the tree, because when you climb from branch to branch, could be considered as using the tree. Or Shlomo Zalman has started to say that once he's in the tree and we give him a class that he can't go down because of the class, but at least he can move from branch to branch if there's going from solid branch to solid branch where there's no movement. Hopefully this is not a lot of a mice. We're not going to find someone who's going to climb up a tree but maze it and then we're going to tell you to stay there.
I have a question. There's something about the bark. Isn't there some bizarre about the bark or something?
I'm unaware of it. I can't think of anything that is particular to the bark. I'm not going to say no. I do forget. If I speak.
My husband and I both learned something about the bark. I don't remember what it is. Uh-huh. I got the feeling I wasn't allowed to touch a tree because you might break off the bark.
Could be. Or if it's loose. But it is. No, that's from a fence. Yeah, probably that's what it is. I'll look into it and I'll see. I don't have any clear recollection right now that the bark's any different from the tree. But as you say, it could be that if there's a bark piece that looks loose, the person touches is going to come to take it off. And you'll say, don't touch. then there's another issue of stadim and tzidet stadim. When there's indirect use of something, is that considered use? So we're going to say that tzidadim, when it's just one time indirect, it would still remain asur. And if it's tzidet stadim, so then it would be mutter. What do we mean by that? Is that if you have a hook, a nail, that is nailed into a tree, can you hang something on that hook? And the answer is, Yuzicha can't hang something on the tree that we know is awesome. Just like you can't climb on the tree, you can't hang up your bag or your jacket or your coat, whatever, on the tree. It's also to do that. But even if there's a hook on the tree and you hang your coat on the hook, that's called studding. That's one off. That's an indirect hanging by one measure, and that would be also upbeat studding. If you have tzidet studding, you have a basket hanging on the hook, and now there's something in the basket, so then you could take something out of the basket, something into the basket. So that's considered tzidet studding. It's a double distance from one to the other, which is an interesting thing. If you have a person, like we said just before, if a person was stuck in a tree, so could you hand him something? Is that considered studding or not studding? He's sitting in the tree and he's hungry and he wants thirsty and he wants something and he went up a maze and he can't come down. So the mice that I saw brought down that the human being is a different story and you could actually give him something. But otherwise we say that studding and tzidet studding is how we use a tree on Shabbos. So if you have a swing in the tree, so that will be the swing is studding, and when the person sits on the swing, he's using tzedadim one time, that will be also to use such a swing on Shabbos. Obviously, we're talking about where the tree is strong enough that when you swing, it's not going to cause the tree to move, because if it causes the tree to move in any way, it would be asur. But if the swing was on a hook, the swing was in a separate piece that was put into the tree. You tied a chain onto the tree and then you hooked it to the chain. So then that will be as considered as tzidet stadim. If you have a treehouse that is purely resting on the tree and not on anything else, would also be considered as stadim, and you couldn't climb up into your treehouse on Shabbos. If it's resting half on the tree and half on other places, then it could be that it would be mutter to use such a treehouse on Shabbos. If you have a ladder that is leaning on a tree, so just like you can't climb the ladder, you can't take the ladder off from the tree either. Because just like you can't put on the tree, you can't take off the tree. So therefore, if you have a hook and you have something hanging on the hook, you have a coat on the hook, you can't put the coat onto the hook, you can't take the coat off the hook. You have a ladder leaning on the tree, you can't put the ladder there, you can't take the ladder away. We know, and then people know there's a famous story of the stifler, why the stifler was hard of hearing. They say it came from his days when he was conscripted to the Russian army and he had sentry duty on a Friday night in the winter. And there were not enough coats in the army, so the person on sentry duty wore a coat. And when he was finished his duty, he took the coat off and gave it to the next person on duty. And he passed it on to the next person. So the coat you used was the coat you got from the person before you. Well, the stifler came to sentry duty and the previous guy had left already and hung the coat on a tree. So when the stifler got there, he said, oh, he's hanging on the tree, I can't take it off the tree. It's very cold. He said, I can last another 5 minutes. 5 minutes passed. I can last another 5 minutes. 5 minutes passed. No, last another 5 minutes. And apparently that is how he went through the night, by standing outdoors in the freezing cold and doing it 5 minutes at a time, and each time deciding that he can do another 5 minutes and therefore not giving himself the headache of taking the coat off the tree. And apparently that affected his hearing for life. Now, is that something first of all, we understand the halacha of taking the coat off the tree, but we also understand that regardless of the stifler, Is that something that we're going to pass on for everybody else to do? Probably not, because we passed in that hakol cholin eitzer tina. Everybody is considered weak and can get sick if it is freezing cold, and therefore, therefore one is allowed to do yisurei drabon in order to avoid cold. One of the examples would be, is you're allowed to ask a goy to turn on the heating to make a fire for you on Shabbos, so that because people are considered as cholin eitzer tina. So l'chayra, the halacha would have been that if it's Siberian cold and you're out there and as you see it actually did affect his health, then the halacha would be that if the rabbanon are taking a coat of the tree would be mutter. The stipler was machmir on himself, and that was his cheshbon. You're going to ask, are you allowed to be machmir on yourself at the cost of your health? Could be he didn't know that it was going to be that way, or maybe he felt that he was on the darga, that this was considered something that he would live with, and therefore he did it, but not something to... We tell that story to see the godliness of the stipler, but not to teach ourselves how to do it in the same way. Not everything the Tanz Kleisenberger Rebbe, was in the camps during the war, and there were many, many things that he did during the camps where he told his Hasidim around him they are not allowed to copy him, they're not allowed to do the same thing. But he believes that he is on a level that he can do it. It was, he didn't eat chametz and Pesach. He managed to survive for a week on potato peels, where there was not enough. With the bread, it was not enough for people. So potato peels without the bread, kosher came. He told his sitting and people around him that asked him, said, you're not allowed to do what I'm doing. You have to eat the bread as it comes to the boshes. But he himself didn't. When he had water, he used it to wash his hands before he used it to drink. Again, he told people not to do that. When you get water, you drink. What was his head? I don't know, but that was how he said he did it. And again, it shows the godliness of the person. We tell the story to appreciate who the person is, but not because we want to say this is what we need to do ourselves. The issur of hanging things on a tree applies even if there's a mitzvah involved. In other words, you have a sefer that's in the tree and you want to get it down. We're still going to say that you can't take the sefer down from the tree. You can't put it into the tree.